Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Sunday, 3 o'clock. Episode 22, The Morning After with Jason Colucci, broadcasting live every Sunday from Roberta's on the Heritage Radio Network. I am Jason Colucci, host of The Morning After. Power pack punch with a kickstart today of Downton Abbey and Oscar Love. And yes, of course, food while we're all here today. Looking across at my general counsel, Harry, who wanted to go toe-to-toe with me with the movie Carlito's Way. Oh, yes, my friend, you cannot win that battle. I can beat you on that. I want to actually congratulate a friend of the show, Lee Schrager. Sobey just had their Food and Wine Festival this weekend. It kind of reminds me where I stand in the realm of the restaurant industry when that thing goes on. Everyone from the Barger Bash, our friends at the Meatball Shop are down there. Our friends at Abe and Arthur's, B&B Burger, Pat LaFrieda, everyone gathers this time of year right before the spring hits here in New York City, down in South Beach. Our friend there, Rachel Ray, who comes here at Roberta's, she's there, and they have a weekend of the South Beach Food and Wine Festival where it originated. This festival happens here in New York, the New York City Food and Wine Festival, so I just wanted to thank Lee Schrager for putting that on. We have a clip here of the undergoings here with our friend Bobby Flay. I don't know if he's actually a friend, but here's a clip here from the Burger Bash this weekend.
I'm Sarah to hear from FN Dish, and I am with Michael Simon at Burger Bash.
Yes, it's crazy. Burger Bash is where it's at.
Now, Michael, last year you won People's Choice. Yep. You are reigning champion.
Two years
in a row. You feel the pressure?
Absolutely. Well, it's fun pressure. You know, like every year you look around, you're like, oh my God, these are the greatest chefs in the world, all making a hamburger.
80-20 ground beef, Angus, cooking on a flat top, 550 degrees, lightly seasoned, goes on to what's called donkey sauce, which is our own special dressing.
All right, I'm sorry, I'm stopping. I forgot Guy Fieri is in this. I refuse to give him, this guy, any credit. He's everything wrong. He's the antichrist of the food restaurant, the industry. I forgot that he's in this. But it ends up, I think, the guy that makes the Greek food, I don't know, what's Michael Salakis, I think he wins that. Harry, what's up, dude?
Hey, bud. How are you?
Harry, you're my general counsel.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for sending that thing I needed to sign over last weekend. I never got it.
Yeah, you didn't sign it, so...
Oh, I never got it.
No, you got it.
Oh, I did?
Yeah,
it was an attachment?
Yeah. It's okay, I'll take care of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Jesse deals with this problem all the time. I'm not very thorough with emails. So, you were eating a huge thing of pancakes here at Roberta's.
That's right.
You come to Roberta's a lot?
Yeah, try to.
Okay, and what was that coffee you were drinking? What's that place? Is that your spot?
That's my spot. Yeah.
Okay, what's the name of
the Randolph. Place?
The Randolph?
Yeah, the Randolph at Broome.
At Broome?
Yep.
And that's in Soho?
That's in Nolita, yep.
Oh, right, come on. Is it Nolita? Is it Soho? It's
Nolita, Soho.
Is it the walk you take home when you sleep with somebody in Chinatown? What is that area there? No, I know the area. I know the spot. And we met there last week, and we had a great coffee drink, which was called the Ayn Rand. Was it the Fountain?
It's called the Fountainhead, yeah.
Was it named after that book?
You know, it was designed by the guys from Alchemy Consulting, actually. So they, it's double entendre something.
Do you know something, an interesting fact today? Amanda Klute, last week, our friend over at Eater, she is like the Eater god of Eater National. She's the editor-in-chief of all Eater stuff. she was awarded that title. I don't know what your thoughts are on Eater.com, but I think they definitely bring as a blogosphere of the world, they definitely bring food more into the mainstream for everybody. I mean, I go there for Facts of the Morning After.
Mm-hmm.
What else is going on? Are you excited about the restaurant show next week?
It's good. Yeah, it's going to be great. You're doing a big 3-hour show there, so that's going to be...
3-hour show that we're going to cut down Jack Inslee, who's back. He looks great, by the way. He's got a great tan. Never seen a guy so relaxed. who, by the way, I will say this, who went out and picked up a host. I won't say who the host is. because there's a problem with L Train, and got in his car today. This is the executive producer of this radio station, drove, picked her up, and she did her show. Wow. I will say that on air, if Patrick Martins is listening. Patrick Martins, I know The Morning After is your favorite show. Jack Inslee, congratulations to you. I wish I could do that. I wish I had the balls to do that kind of thing, but I can never talk about it. There's a show on TV which is like, I don't know, if you watch TV, whatever. There's a couple of shows that I'm kind of into now. Shark Tank, which made me think of some of our guests here today. Put an egg on it. Tasty Zine? Zine. Sorry. What? Oh, geez. And the booth is already giving me dirty looks already. Tasty Zine. I'm sorry. there's people that go into this sort of Shark Tank thing, and they ask for money. But you guys, we'll talk about this later, but they did a Kickstarter thing. Now, Kickstarter is a website where you can go on for any purpose. I know the guys at Little Neck did this. You can create, you have your business concept, and you go on and you give people an incentive to invest. Now, the incentive isn't equity. It's more of like something that you would get. Like you would get a lifetime membership from Put an Egg on It, Tasty Zine, one of the creators is originally from Frisco. I'm just kidding around. I just want to get dirty looks over there. They did it, and it's a great asset. Anyone that's bored, that wants to, you know, has some extra money, that wants to help some people out, they can go on this thing. But this show, which has Mark Cuban, the guy that owns the Dallas Mavericks and three airplanes and whatever the hell else he owns, they go online. People pitch their business concepts. Check that Shark Tank out. And Downton Abbey, this show is addictive. I watched about four episodes last night. It's about, you know, four, it's like a 4-hour kind of thing. Here's anyone that's into Downton Abbey. Oh, so service industry. I'm addicted to the show. I watched it last night. Check it out. I guess we should talk about our guests and also what we're doing next week. We're hosting the show. I'll repeat myself 100 times, which like I usually do. Next week, if you want to be a guest on The Morning After and you're at the restaurant show, we will be broadcasting from there between 1 and 4. We'll be there. When you walk into the restaurant show, you make a right. We will be there. Come hang out. You can meet all the players of The Morning After. Myself, Jesse Kiefer, Bennett Jaslik, whoever, Aaron, will be there. She's originally from Huntington. Jack Inslee. Harry, you're going to be there next week?
I'll be there.
Okay, cool. Everyone will be there. and I'm excited about it. I'm a little nervous, but I've been doing prep all week. Where are we at here? Hold on, let me look at my little show notes here. You know, let's take a break. What do you guys think? I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk to Bob McClure, co-owner of McClure Pickles. I've been eating these things. I'm staring at the Bloody Mary mix. I love that stuff. Morning After.
And shyness can stop you from doing all the things in life you'd like to. Shyness is nice, and shyness can stop you from doing all the things in life you'd like to. So if there's something you'd like to try, if there's something you'd like to try, ask me, I won't say no, how could I? Coyness is nice, and coyness can stop you from saying all the things in life you'd like to. So if there's something you'd like to try, if there's something you'd like to try, ask me, I won't say no, how could I? Spending warm summer days indoors, writing frightening verse to a buck-toothed girl in Luxembourg.
The following program was sponsored by S. Wallace Edwards and Sons. Summertime is not the only time when barbecue is welcome. At S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, Sam Edwards has been working his magic on ribs, briskets, pit-cooked pulled pork, and much, much more. Add a few of their sides and the party is complete. Entertaining has never been so easy. To order, go to virginiatraditions.com.
We're back here at The Morning After, going in our first interview. Bob McClure, co-owner of McClure's Pickles. Everyone has dreamed of starting a family business. The McClure family decided to take this step. With their roots in Michigan, they have thrived on pickling and have moved into relishes and Bloody Mary mixes. The formula is simple. A short turnaround from farmer to consumer, using the best products available and not interfering in the process. Bob McClure. What's up, buddy?
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming down, man. You know, this is one of the first guests that, like, I buy your product. I mean, there's a lot of people that come on here, and I've used it after the... I've known them come on. I go to Key Food on the corner of 5th and Sterling and Park Slope, and this product has sat in my refrigerator on top of the fact that I love the Bloody Mary mix. I'm a big fan of it.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
You just start from the beginning.
Sure. This originally wasn't a business. We grew up making these pickles based on my great-grandmother's recipe. So I had a long-term family tradition of making this product growing up in Detroit. And then I moved to New York to do something completely different. I was here as a commercial actor and a comedy writer. And my brother was going to school for different things. And then, you know, in 2006, we were like, you know, in need of a job that actually paid our rent. As jobs would come and go through acting, I figured I wanted something a little bit more stable. And why not give pickling a shot? You know, because I didn't have too much to lose at that point.
But the idea of Michigan is interesting because a lot of people don't know that in the summertime, Michigan is the largest producer of...
Yeah, of pickling cucumbers.
Of pickling cucumbers. And is that something that just, that your grandmother, when it happened, that's the reason why it was kind of a de facto thing? That was like a family thing, like in New England, where apple pie recipes or something, and it just sort of was passed down, or was it a...
Yeah, I think it was a byproduct of, you know, Michigan being one of the larger producers of pickling cucumbers. I don't think she knew, you know, oh, this state produces so many cucumbers, I need to, you know, grab as many as I can and put them into a jar. I think it happened to be what was available and what she could get at the farmer's market. And then as it passed down through our family, I remember going to the farmer's market, the Detroit Eastern Market, which is one of the largest outdoor wholesale markets in the country as well. We'd go down there with my grandpa and my mom and dad, and we'd pick up stuff at like 4 a.m. and take it back to our kitchen and just start, you know, making pickles all day.
How much fun is Detroit now? I know there's weird areas and stuff like that, but Johnny Knoxville, the Jackass guy, there's a documentary out there. So if anybody just puts in Johnny Knoxville documentary, I don't know the name of it, but he travels around Detroit. And, like, if you have some capital, you can buy the old Cadillac factory for, like, $300,000.
Sure, yeah. Real estate is certainly pretty inexpensive right now in that immediate area. Because there's not a lot of manufacturing business going on, and we're now about to move into a 20,000 square foot space, and we got a good price on it when you're, you know, starting to look at other comparables like New York,
the old Cavalier factory,
right.
Sorry, the Chevy Cavalier.
yeah, what's the one that, like, the is the, that one of the convertible, like,
that that, oh, Chevy, no, no, makes. Oh, are you talking about the international rental car, the Chrysler Sebring?
Yes, the Sebring. That's
it. Whenever I fly into SFO and I'm in Frisco, I get a Sebring and I drive up through wine country. That's just my thing, and I think I'm the first guy to do it. But who knows?
It's coming back.
No, yeah. But it has the same feeling when I was watching this thing about 2 years ago, as Roberta's, as Bushwick, like, you know, as negative as we get, as many Michael Moore documentaries as we watch. There is sort of a youth movement in Detroit that there are some positive things happening. When you came to New York and you sort of an artistic aspirations, do you put a lot of that energy into McClure's now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
I could totally see it
all day. You know, and same with my brother and my family who work along with us. My mom and my dad are there every morning, making our product with us.
Well, I noticed one of the interviews that I have a couple of things we'll get into in a little while. But you guys said that everyone in the family is involved in all of the jarring.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I brought up the Shark Tank in the beginning of the show is when they go to these guys like Mark Cuban to get more equity in the business, there's definitely a progression they have to make. And you were talking into getting into more states. Now, if a venture capital guy came to you and had some more money to invest, would that be something that you would sort of take out of the hands of the family, or do you kind of want to keep it like a sort of a early Ben and Jerry's grassroots kind of company?
Yeah, I see it as keeping it, you know, within our family. Whether the future, you know, takes on additional capital or venture capital or bank funding, we want to keep it. In our control, we feel that we can still produce the best quality product under our watch, and maybe outsource some of the other stuff that we can't, you know, that we're not good at, like business dealings or like distributors and stuff like that. Like there's obviously places that we can grow with the help of other traditional, you know, venues that we don't have a grasp on.
We have a couple of things here that we wanted to play. Now, and I was doing research on you. I found a couple of funny interviews. One of them is actually your standard kind of NPR-ish interview, which is great, which is the first one I found, and I'll play that. I think you were on like WNYC.
Yeah, Amy.
I'm going to play that right here.
Bob McClure first learned to make pickles from his grandfather, and he's here with us today for this week's segment of Last Chance Foods. Bob, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me.
So you run McClure's Pickles along with your brother and your parents. How did your family decide to get into the pickle business?
After a long time of pickling, as we were growing up, we decided 3 years ago that it would be a good and crazy idea to start a pickle company.
Crazy indeed.
Oh, crazy, crazy indeed. Now, yes, I have to get my NPR voice here. Now, secondly, when I was doing more research, I found a great YouTube clip here, which was crazy on my end. Now, we found a great YouTube clip that I played to you before, just so I didn't put you on the spot, which was something Don Draper, the Mad Men guy, might have produced. And this is the other side of the McClure's.
Burr, burr, my skin is cold.
Gurgle, gurgle, stomach, I'm hungry.
I have a bland taste in my mouth.
Well, sounds like you need to taste my pickle.
Bob McClure!
Test my pickle.
What?
My hot and spicy pickle. Taste it.
Well, I'll give it a try. Oh, look, I can free my mouth.
Well, that was really a Harry Carey impersonation. I thought you were doing. I tried to do it. It was either Jimmy Fallon you were doing an impression of somebody, or Harry Carey. Cause it was, or was that just you? Kind
yeah,
of
it was a little bit of both with a McClure spin on it.
What was what's that all about? You guys did a live show or something?
Yeah, we did a live show with the group called the Apple Sisters. And they used to be in New York. They're out in L.A.
No, they do a lot of
a lot of great improv sketch comedy stuff. And that being my background, we figured why not roll it into a live show. As you know, tied into the business.
No, I was laughing, and then I followed. I saw some more stuff. Talk to me about this Bloody Mary mix. I love this stuff. Anyone that you know doesn't want to go out and buy like three cans of Sacramento tomato juice, Tabasco, lime, whatever your things are, you can go out and hit any store and buy this stuff, and it's great. It reminded me a lot of the base of a lot of the Mardi Gras going on right now, the New Orleans style. Base, you know, you can kind of go in any riff you want off of it. How did this come about?
This came out, I guess maybe two years ago, and it started as an additional product that people could use when they bought the pickles. So you'd be able to buy the pickles, and people would say, "Why am I spending so much on these pickles?" And we'd be like, "Hey, look, you know, we make it by hand, and it takes a lot of work. They're expensive because they're expensive to make. But if you use the juice that's left over, you can add some tomato juice, a little black pepper, and you've got your own Bloody Mary mix." Yeah. And then people were like, "Oh, great! I'm getting, you know, my money's worth. I've got 2-3 uses out of it." And then my brother and I thought, "Well, what the heck? Why don't we start jarring this on our own, because there's plenty of people who want to buy the pickles as well as a jar of Bloody Mary mix," and it took off, and now we're selling almost as much of that as we are the pickles, which is great. And we're doing food service size of it, like 1 gallon jugs for restaurants, bars, and stuff. And either you really like it, or you know you don't, because it's very pickly. It has pickle juice in it.
This question has come up in a lot of restaurants that I've worked in, which is the question: when in a busy Sunday brunch, when you have a hungover bartender, how do you get a consistent Bloody Mary? And the thing is, you can take the opportunity cost of sort of getting a McClure's in your in-house and creating a consistent Bloody Mary that's not going to interfere in somebody storing it properly, making it properly, three different shifts in a day. And I totally recommend any restaurateur that wants to create a consistent Bloody Mary in-house and not having four or five different shifts making it. You know, there's a lot of places that do brunch now are open 7 days a week. It's not like the usual thing where the guy came in on Saturday brunch, made the stuff till Monday, and then they threw it out on Monday. You know, there was that poor bastard that ordered it Monday night. Like, yeah, I got Bloody Mary mix. And then the bartender went into the walk-in box or whatever. He was like, oh, yeah, yeah, I got a couple. And he made one for you. And then that was it, you know? But it's totally – do you have a lot of accounts like that? Because you guys are doing this gallon thing, which is
great. Yeah, we're starting to get more into the restaurant food service stuff with all of our products. That's kind of our next leap for this year, is to really branch out with our larger size pickles, our larger size Bloody Mary. New York's a hard nut to crack because everybody wants to make their own.
Yeah.
But we figure, why not have it in case – you know, as an additional item in case you do run out, or, you know, you need something on hand that people want to try something different. Sure, our mix is as comparable price-wise as, like, Tabasco or Mr. and Mrs. T's, and certainly comparable to if you were running up to Restaurant Depot or Costco and buying stuff and putting it all together. You know, we figure just pop, shake it, pop the cap, and pour it.
Speaking of the restaurant show, any advice you would give to guys that are in their late 20s or something that have, like, incubating an idea that could come to fruition, that maybe go to Kickstarter or something, the same position you were in?
Yeah, I mean, I think the keep at it. You know, that's the, you know, keep working. Test your ideas out on people who will give you honest feedback, you know, on the public. Right. But people will give you, like, honest feedback,
exactly.
You know, like, not necessarily that you have to take on, like, a mentor or something like that, but people who will give you some honest feedback.
Well, Bob McClure, McClure's Pickles, thanks. Are you going to hang out for the rest of the show?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks a lot for hanging out. We're going to talk about some Oscars later. So I want to hear your thoughts.
My picks.
Morning After. We'll come back with 86list.com.
Another day. No fun for my babe. No fun. No fun for my babe. No fun. No fun to be alone. By myself, no fun to be alone.
We're back here at the Morning After, broadcasting live from Roberta's. Jack Inslee on the one and ones in the computer. Laura Wertz, 86list.com, with the hot job of the week. Laura Wertz, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, Jason?
Laura Wertz, hot job of the week. Laura Wertz, what's our hot job of the week? Come on, I'm looking for it. I have my resume with me right here. So tell me, Laura Wertz, what is the hot job of the week?
Okay, well, I may have the job for you.
Oh.
Okay, so are you familiar with the Nomad Hotel?
I can put it on Google and pretend like I am, but no, I'm not.
Okay, well, I mean, it's a pretty new project. It is on Broadway and 29th Street. And they're opening a restaurant inside called Nomad.
Oh, okay.
And it's the new project of Chef Daniel Hume and Will Gadara of 11 Madison Park.
Wow, those guys are expanding, huh?
Yeah, yeah. God, I mean, they're pretty hot right now, like you would say. And they are set to open the restaurant at the end of March. Right now, they're pretty much seeking all dining room positions. Their list includes servers, assistant and kitchen servers, bartenders, hosts, cocktail servers, and sommeliers. And you can see a little bit about the project at the nomadhotel.com.
Right, now the important stuff.
And more information on 86 List, of course.
When you're saying so hot right now, I actually have a special clip for
you
right
like
now.
I'd like to take this opportunity
hold on
to
one
announce
second.
My retirement.
So hot right now.
That was for you, Laura. Where it's Hansel. He's so hot right now. So hot right now. Are these guys, are they going to put the Ace Hotel out of business?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're just like, you know, they're two young, really excited guys. You know, they're who knows who they're going to take out of business.
Did you get my voicemail, by the way?
I did, yes.
All right, so morning after, we'll be at the International Food Restaurant, International Show, live, Reed Exhibitions, Ron Matthews, next week from 1 to 4. If you can sneak your way in, Laura Wertz, please come by and say hello.
Absolutely.
You can bring out all the 86list.com stuff, and we can get crazy. We're going to be there. I'd love for you to come by, but I still haven't received your wedding invitation.
I haven't sent them all out yet.
Oh, okay. Okay, very touchy subject. Oh, it's one of those weeks. Okay, I won't get into it.
Yeah, it really
I
is.
I can tell. I trust it. Laura Wertz, 86list.com. Thanks again for calling in. I'll see you probably at the restaurant show. Love you.
That's right. Okay, take care. Bye.
Talk to you soon. So hot right now. that's Laura Wertz, 86list.com. That's a funny kind of relationship we have. I work with Laura for a long time, and she has a website, a6.com. People can go on and find jobs, but I didn't know that. I guess they're trying to compete with that whole area. That's a weird area, that Broadway. You know, it's sort of like you can buy yarn there and stuff like that. but I'm really excited about our next guest, and I'm going to really enunciate the name of this because I have a huge writing here, probably in 36 size font, Sharpie. Put a egg on it. Taste design. Okay, there we go. Sarah Keogh and Ralph McGinnis are here. 1 second, guys. Let me pull up your little Charlie Rose bio that we wrote. 1 second. I'm sorry. Here, I was pulling. Let me get my Hansel clip out of the way. Sarah Keogh and Ralph McGinnis, creators of Put It A Egg on It. Taste design. In their short history, they have created a following that has sold out their first two issues. It seems simple. Give the public a pure, unfiltered look at food and culture, and they will follow. They are here today to discuss their history and the future of the publication. Guys, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us. Hi.
I was really excited to see your background, where you guys went to school, because I was kind of the same. I feel like we're in the same kind of thing. I was an art student. And kind of like got into restaurants. I don't know if you guys had worked in restaurants for a while, and then kind of like went back into it and sort of found the middle ground of art and restaurants. You guys went to SVA together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a background in magazines mostly, but Ralph has worked in restaurants.
I grew up working at restaurants. I'm from New Orleans. I grew up in New Orleans.
Well, it's Mardi Gras, so congratulations. So talk to me about how the idea of the magazine show, is that the proper thing to call it? I mean, it's a magazine, but it can take so many different forms now in terms of how you would articulate what it actually is. I was looking at it now, and I went online to try to find it, to sneak some photographs of it, and it was the first two are sold out. You can't get them. I mean, that's how popular it is. And you guys created a Kickstarter kind of account to get the wheels rolling. Talk about where you guys are at and everything.
The first issue we made just by ourselves, didn't ask anybody for help, and just kind of wanted to see how we could do it. And it went pretty well, and then for the second issue, we decided to get some money together and to bring in some other people, so that's how the Kickstarter thing happened, and it was amazing. It went really well.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And what are your roles? Because you kind of, I mean, is there one person, do you guys kind of both take on the editing kind of thing and work on stuff? There's a lot of great literature in here and great photography.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of both sort of do everything. Ralph has more of a design background, and he's more involved in that, and I'm more involved in the writing.
But we have, like, veto power of each other.
Yeah.
Now, who's the ultimate veto? The people.
No, I mean, it's a collaborative.
We like, tend to agree with each other a lot, so we don't really run into any, like... That's never actually happened, where we're like...
Yeah, I mean, one person might be like, no, and the other person is like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
When you're doing the first one, is there... and I think this is where the best stuff comes from, when it's not a thing like, oh, we're going to create this thing that's going to become the next whatever. When the first one came about, you guys were just really just having fun with it, and just it was an artistic kind of enterprise, mm-hmm. and it became big.
Yeah, well, we've worked on other magazines for other people together quite a lot, and so we had, you know, for a long time wanted to make something that was just, you know, together without sort of any other publishers or editors, you know, telling us what they wanted.
Yeah, like all the normal magazine crap.
Oh, no, I know.
Like, we don't create content based on PR.
Yeah.
Which is great. And I think one of the things I wanted to ask you is, because you guys have a Twitter account, so you're in the technology kind of canon. Yeah. But I noticed that, you know, was there a specific kind of decision to print it rather than to do it digitally?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I think we set out to make, you know, a print object, something that you can, you know, that's sort of limited, and that you know, we had to make a lot of choices to sort of figure out how we wanted it to be, and so it sort of exists as that. And then we've spent a lot of time talking about what we're going to do online, and I feel like it'll be under the same kind of umbrella of Put Egg on It, but it'll be different. You know, it'll have a different kind of feeling.
Can I play your guys' Kickstarter video?
Totally.
Okay, cool. I want to play their Kickstarter video that I found. And I was gonna contribute, but you guys already met your quarter. hold on here. Okay, pulling up.
Bridge, but leftovers are last night's takeout? What to do? Why? Just put an egg on it.
But all I have is pita, and it's stale.
Put an egg on it.
All I have in my refrigerator is this leftover plate of butter and the collected works of Robert Louis Stevenson.
Put an egg on it.
What am I gonna have for dinner? All I have is...
Put an egg on it!
I got egg!
Put an egg on it!
And that's Put an Egg on It. It's an Inventive Digest-sized art literary magazine about food, cooking, and the communal joys of eating with friends and family. And that was your original kind of video you guys did. What brought you guys to Kickstarter? Because this is something you see a lot in, I mean, I think everywhere, but a lot... I see it a lot in the food community, which is great. It's just a great way to raise money fast.
Yeah, I found out about it because I donated to somebody. I like the idea. Like, I think people who raise money on it donate a lot, because you only need to donate a little bit.
Yeah, I've definitely donated to a lot of things.
You just donate $5 here and there, and it becomes like a community. So, like, if someone donated to you, and then you find out they are also raising money, you're like, oh sure, and I'll drop $5 into them. It doesn't have to be a lot of money, so anybody can... You don't have to, like, wait around for some rich god to come down from the heavens.
a super pack?
To just, come
like
down.
The McClure's Mitt Romney pack? That I'm just kidding around over there.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up in New Orleans? I'm fascinated by it. Did you grow up in New Orleans proper, or were you, like, in
the French Quarter?
In the French Quarter?
It's French Quarter.
Do you know the bar, the Aaron Rose? Do you know that place? It's on Conti Street, just off of Bourbon, on the 400 block of Conti. So that's
well, I haven't lived there since 1998, so that doesn't sound familiar.
But is it a fun place to grow up, because you work service and stuff? Or is it just wild and you just kind of get out and people come there and think it's...
Well, I never had a drinking problem.
Okay.
And I don't know why. My parents are bartenders, so I grew up in bars and restaurants. My first job was working... shelling shrimp and shucking oysters, making po' boys, stuff like that. But I did learn one thing that when I came to New York to go to college, I never wanted to work in a restaurant again. That's why. I'm sorry. Like, it can be pretty, after a while.
Just look under my eyes. So, Sarah, talk to me about the difference between San Francisco restaurants. There you go, guys. And New York restaurants. There's a huge... just a general difference in terms of eating out. Is there, like, the culture different? Is it a food town?
It is.
Better produce.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't lived in San Francisco in a really long time. And when I did live there, I was actually just talking to a friend about this, that we ate, you know, just totally all cheap stuff. Like, if it cost more than $5, it was, like, an event. So I don't really know a lot about the sort of restaurant scene that's there right now.
Yeah.
You know, I just... just about where I like to get burritos and nachos and falafels and stuff like that. But I do know that when the last time I lived there, I lived with Ralph actually, and there's so much sort of like cheap, amazing produce available that you end up eating really well.
Yeah.
At home. You can just go out with $2 and buy like a bunch of vegetables.
No, I know. And I worked, I opened the restaurant Polino's with Nate Appleman, who had a restaurant called A16 in San Francisco. Oh, yeah. And all the sous chefs were like, and I was a buyer, and they were like looking at me like I was crazy because I didn't have like a farmer show up with a pickup truck that day. You know, it's like, you know, I was like, hey guys, the delivery came. Welcome to New York. You know, it's right here. I think that's the biggest thing. So when's episode 5 coming out? And it was like George Lucas here.
We're going to the printer next week, so it should be out
by
the first day of spring.
And I implore anyone who's listening to talk to them now because this stuff sells out pretty quick. No, it does. You got to stay on top of it. And if you own a store, who's in New York?
The New York distributor is called Ubiquity.
Ubiquity.
But you can order it directly from us.
Yeah.
And do you guys recommend it? That's the best way to do it. It's like $5, I think, or...
It's $7.
$7.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Our current issue is the first issue that we're printing that we don't have to spend our own money.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome.
Doesn't that feel good?
It does.
Yeah. It's paying for itself now.
And is there a big article in there? I'm sure everything is great and holds on weight, but is there a Christopher Hitchens kind of article in there? Or you know what I mean? Like the one kind of thing. Or is it just, is it a cumulative kind of thing? Or is there something, I'm sure you're entirely proud of the whole enterprise, but is there one thing that you really got?
I'm actually super excited about this issue. There's a bunch of great things, but one thing that was really awesome for me was I got to interview Judy Rogers from Zuni.
Yeah.
And she was so fantastic to talk to.
Her story is really beautiful. Yeah, actually,
we just asked her one question, and she and I ended up talking for a long time, and so it's sort of a longer.
So you guys gonna hang out for Oscar predictions?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Well, let's take another break. We're gonna come back with the entire crew here. We got Harry. We have everybody in town. We're gonna talk about Oscar night tonight. I'm really excited. This is my Super Bowl. I don't know about you guys. It is.
You're so cool.
Morning after.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck you too. Cool, Schmore.
Hello, morning after. We're back. Great show. Wow. I'm super proud of the show. And the fact is I was really, really, really diverted because I... Oh, no.
This country is a land of dreams.
Oh. There we go.
It can be a hard place. A cruel place. But it's where I work. I dream of a better life for my son.
So,
is that the most interesting guy alive, movie?
That sounded like
that's your computer, ma'am.
Oh, is it?
Wow. Yep.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I'm sorry. That was like Oscar.com. Jack, thank you. Let me kill this right now. Okay, I thought that was Jesse's little hey, remember? okay, let's talk about the Oscars. Let me kill this whole thing here. Okay, I don't know.
Have you seen any of the Oscar movies?
I have, but I haven't seen all 10. There's 10 of them. Let's just talk about the night because this is my Super Bowl kind of thing. Jesse Kiefer, welcome to the studio.
It's great to be in here, Jason, instead of in the booth yelling at you through glass.
Thank you for coming in. did I make my Frisco quota of saying Frisco 10 times?
I have no idea where that comes from.
Okay. I
think like people from San Francisco say like San Francisco. Oh, I don't know. Sarah, what do they say?
San Francisco, or
there you go.
I don't know. I just watched The Rock with Nick, and then he's welcome to The Rock. is anyone else here excited about the Oscars tonight, or just me?
I didn't know they were tonight.
Oh my lord! You know, I was at a staff meeting once at Tribeca Grill, and I had like I was new there. I was there for like 4 or 5 months, and I printed out like every 10 copies of everybody putting in $5. And I was like, hey guys, anyone wants to be part of the Oscar pool, please report here. And I was like by myself at the end of it. No, it's a fun kind of night. I know it's kind of cheesy in a sense, but I enjoy it. Jesse, do you think this artist is gonna win everything?
I haven't seen it, Jason.
I haven't seen it either.
Is it all silent? That's what it's a silent film.
It is, I think, until like the
or
last.
Or is it
scene,
about
like
a silent film actor?
It's about a silent film actor, and he's like, you know, talkies come about in like 1921, and he's like struggling with being an actor. But I think it's gonna win and clean up. You know, Harvey Weinstein is a genius. Speaking of Tribeca Grill and Robert De Niro and Harvey Weinstein, they're all in that same building. But I don't know. What do you guys? Anyone thoughts on Downton Abbey? Anyone watching this show too, or is it just me? I love this show. This show is great. If you're in the service industry, watch this show.
I've been watching The Bachelor.
I watched The Bachelor too.
That's good. If that could be made into a movie, I'd vote for that.
And you know, he's originally from Frisco. That guy.
Because you get to vote for Oscars, right?
Well, I actually do get some. What are they? I get the CD,
Academy.
Yeah, right. I get the DVDs beforehand.
Oh. Bamaclore, thank you. I knew you just got on a plane coming from the Mitt Romney revival in Michigan. Just kidding. You could say that. I know you're part of one of the super PACs.
Yeah, he flew me in. It was fine.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. No, I think the thing about Downton Abbey, and you watch it, and you work in restaurants. It's a period in time where like the server like had an opinion. It takes place like right when the Titanic happened, and it's not a, you know, the Lord is not this overbearing guy who's like, you must follow me. He's there and he's a reasonable guy. Check this show out. If you have a Netflix queue, you can watch it. I watched 4 episodes of this thing last night. But Jesse, let's talk about the most important thing, not the Oscars tonight. Let's talk about the morning after show next week, International Restaurant Food Show, Reed Exhibitions.
At the Javits Center.
Yes. I didn't think I have to, just because of my Italian background, I just figured people would know it was at the Javits Center. That whole mafia kind of thing going on there.
I've never been to the Javits Center, so.
Okay. Well, here's the plan. We're going to go in early Sunday. We're going to go out there. We're going to get everybody, you know, make appointments for interviews, and then we're going to go on at 1 o'clock, and we're going to go to about 4 o'clock. Jack Inslee might make an appearance, but we're going
to
have
anybody is welcome to make an appearance. Come and see us.
Yeah,
for sure.
Come hang out. We're working. You know, I was working on the booth all week, and I'm almost finished. We're doing a graffiti motif.
Oh yeah, I can't. What was it? The breakdancing movie was it your inspiration?
Break into Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. I'm excited
anyone,
to see
anyone
this.
Has ever seen that graffiti. It's that like sort of Tribe Called Quest. It's like, you know, there's the Wu-Tang Clan and there's Tribe Called Quest. Like if you could kind of take graffiti, there's the hard side and then there's the Tribe Called Quest graffiti side. And I'm taking the Tribe Called Quest graffiti side of things. so we're doing that and we're going to go in early on Sunday and we're going to do the show. And it's going to be a blast. Harry, are you going to be there?
I'll be there.
What are you going to wear? Don't wear a suit.
I'll wear whatever you want me to wear.
We're going
to
have an...
I thought we're dressing like 80s.
80s theme. Yeah. 80s theme. Jess, should we make t-shirts?
Jumpsuit. Or? Jumpsuit. Adidas jumpsuit.
Sergio Tacchini?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. It's been great. I think it's time to wrap it up. Guys, anyone at the restaurant show next week that listens to The Morning After, please, please, please come. Check in. Hang out. We're going to have some secret alcohol there. But I'm really excited. I'm really happy, and I want to thank everybody from today's show, Bob McClure, Sarah Keogh, Ralph McGinnis. Please check our Twitter feed, our Facebook feed, to get any information on all their enterprises the morning after.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.